following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Week two of the regular season from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, who back in the day when he won his championship ring used to wear number 57. And pleased to be joined by the guy who currently wears that uniform number on the other side of the ball, the second-year linebacker Jonathan Bostic. I mean, that's quite a number to wear. I mean, not just Tom, but... You know, Olin Krutz, longtime leader in the Chicago Bears locker room, wore it. And then you were the next guy to be given that uniform number. You're very different than Olin, very different than this guy, Tom.
Well, you know, first of all, a defensive player having 5'7 after it's been on the back of an offensive lineman for so long. And when we got here, we asked him, would you still be interested in picking? Because no one gets a chance to pick their number. It's kind of handed to you the first day you get your pads. And so I think in everybody's career, would you go back and choose that number if you had other opportunities?
If I ever had the opportunity, like I told you, I said I'd go back to my college number. I'd go back to number one.
But how did you get that at Florida? So you got number one granted to you at Florida?
Yes.
As a freshman?
Not as a freshman. I was 52 my first 3 years.
Right.
I was going to change right before my junior year, but my mom – No, don't change. So I didn't change. And then, you know, right before my senior year, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm changing to one.
If we go to a Florida game, do we see vintage 5'2 jerseys out there with your name on the back?
I don't think so. You know, most of the jerseys you're going to see out there, Percy Harvin, Tim Tebow, you know, guys like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, the Tim Tebow one's a pretty big one. Steve Spurrier wore number 22, right, when
yeah.
he was there? He was a pretty special quarterback back in the day, also won the Heisman Trophy. But I believe your dynamite moment wearing number one is probably in your last game at Florida. You remember this, Tom? This is unbelievable. Teddy Bridgewater, who's now a rookie quarterback with the Minnesota Vikings, was playing for Louisville. Florida was playing Louisville Sugar Bowl?
Sugar Bowl, yep.
And there is, you should YouTube this.
I know what it
is. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's the kind of hit that I think personnel directors around the NFL were going, wow. Because you went right into Bridgewater. Bridgewater leaves his feet, and you drilled him. I mean, that's the kind of hit that if you're going to wear number one, get people to notice you, right?
I guess you could say that.
But you know what? The thing about it is, you know, when the San Diego game, first preseason game, man, you went laterally, you blew up the guy on the line of scrimmage that was running kind of a bubble screen back towards you. Your two assets, it seems like your willingness to hit and your speed. From this moment on, what do you have to work on the most that you don't have?
Really my whole overall game. You know, it's to be honest, I never played linebacker until I got to college. So,
right.
You know, there's still a lot of stuff, you know, I'm learning, you know, each and every day. I'm learning stuff from DJ, learning stuff from Lance, you know, and I'm getting better, you know, and I see it. So, you know, just making sure, you know, each and every day, you know, I've got something, you know, going into the day that I can work on this, I can work on that. You know, I'm trying, you know, my best to, you know, just keep getting better. So,
can you, I know it helped me a lot. Can you get better watching tape? Are you a guy that watches tape in your personal time to study offenses and tendencies and balances of offensive linemen stances and things like that?
Yeah, that's something, you know, I do, you know, a lot of. Because, I mean, that's always helped me out. You know, just recognizing formations, you know, because, you know, offenses have their tendencies as well. You know, when they get
right.
in certain formations, you know, you're only going to see these few runs. So, you know, knowing those tips ahead of time, you know, making sure, you know, the whole defense knows it, you know, it helps us out in the run game. So, you know, also in the passing game, you know, they'll do different things where certain guys will line up certain places, you know, they're going to run certain routes for these guys. So knowing those things and knowing, you know, where the ball's going to, that just helps the defense out.
Isn't it neat, though, when you have a conversation with, say, Lance or Peanut or Jeremiah Ratliff or Jared Allen, you have a conversation with one of these extremely experienced players in the things they can tell you that you are able to absorb at such a quick pace. It's kind of fun, too, isn't it, to talk to those guys?
Oh, no, it's big. I mean, I still remember, you know, Redskins game, and I was just staring at Lance on the sideline, and I told him, he guessed, like, run past, like, eight, I think it was like seven, eight plays in a row. And I said, there's no way he knows. Like, I understand he's played a lot of football, but you don't guess that many times straight. You know, and then, you know, he told me one of his tips, you know, as of.
Don't let it go. Keep it to yourself.
He was about to say it.
I was about to say it. I thought about it. I said, you know what?
This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway, but that's the challenge that you faced last year, because there was a pretty good amount of time where you were on the field and you didn't have those veterans around you that Tom just talked about, where you were kind of on your own. Mm-hmm. What was the challenge last year? When you look back at the things you just didn't know because you hadn't experienced them last year compared to where you are right now in your NFL career?
You really just understand the offenses even more. You know, you see a lot of spread offenses in, you know, college football. So actually, you know, seeing more pro style looks, you know, and, you know, throwing the ball, you know, with two backs and stuff like that out of the backfield. It's been a little bit different, but, you know, it's, when you really look at it, it's simple. You know, it's actually, you know, a lot more simple than, you know, the, you know, some of these college offenses, because they run a lot of funky type routes. You know, even when we played, you know, Philadelphia last year, you know, that was one of the tips we said, you know, they run a lot of funky routes, and, you know, you really don't know what's going to come. So
we talked about your speed earlier, but is there a part of you that has to kind of slow it down on the field because teams look to take advantage of the fact that you are over aggressive, that you are so fast, that they look to be deceptive that way?
Definitely. You know, like in college as well, you don't see a lot of hard zone teams. You know, you've got some zone scheme teams, and, you know, you've got some gap, you know, down blocking teams. So it really, you know, you don't really see that, you know, Houston Texans, you know, offense till you know, kind of get to the NFL. And, you know, that was something last year I didn't understand. You know, I was just like, well, I'm going to fit on the fullback, you know. And then, you know, once Coach Heron got here and, you know, being going against that offense every day, he was able to help me out. He's like, listen, the offensive lineman just running sideways. You know, forget that gap. It's coming back to you. Don't worry. And, you know, I still have, you know, problems with it here and there, but I see it, you know, and it's definitely helped me out.
That's the key, is seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to see a lot of it this week against the San Francisco 49ers. We'll take a look back at what you learned from that Buffalo game, what it's going to do to help you out this week against the 49ers. Jonathan Bostic, our guest. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. I'm always impressed by how Tom Thayer, you know, this is why he stays so fit considering he's 95 years old, because he'll have a little bit of pizza and then he'll push the rest back. Won't allow any of our guests to have it because you guys have a game day coming up.
With Jonathan being here, I was going to wear some. I have the sweatshirt that was issued to me the first day I was a Bear. And that back then, it just had your size on it. It didn't have a place for your number. And it's number 52. And I knew that was your number. But it's something that I am 150 years old, but, man, they made good sweatshirts back in the 80s. You got to save some of that stuff, like from your rookie year, your first thing issued to you and stuff, just to have it when you're an old man.
Yeah, I definitely save all that stuff. My mom's big into that stuff.
Good,
so
good.
I know, you know, when I went to college, you know, she likes to keep stuff like that, even in high school, Little League. She still got, you know, shirt I probably wore to my first football practice. So,
well, you know what? That's what I talk about all the time. It's not about what football is going to do for John Bostic. It's about what football is going to do for other people because you're playing football. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been helpful for me and my family. Obviously, that your mom is so proud to collect all your stuff. It's just what it does for the people outside of you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's big. You know, my family, you know, always been, you know, excited, you know, that I made it to this level. You know, Dad, he always told me, he said, you know, listen, you know, you have a chance, you know, if you don't, but, you know, I'm still going to be proud of you. So, you know, ever since, you know, I got here, he's always been telling me, you know, I'm proud of you, you know, all your hard work's definitely paid off.
10-year window, that's what we need out of you. So this year, you're in year two of a 10-year window.
Jonathan Bostic, our guest here on Bears All Access, coming to you from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Hallis Hall alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. I say Jonathan because there are a lot of people that call you John, but Mom calls you Jonathan,
yes,
which means Jonathan likes to be referred to as Jonathan Bostic. right?
To be honest, I've got thousands of nicknames, and literally I answer to every last one of them.
All right, let's list them all. What's the coolest one?
The recent ones, I mean, you know, a lot of people call me Bostic by my last name. Jeff Demps actually gave me the nickname Bot.
Bot?
He saw a commercial, and it was the BlackBerry commercial a long time ago, where they said your butt hung up on you, something like that.
Oh.
He thought they said bot. He's, oh, they said bot. And I'm like, no, they didn't. And ever since then, you know, he called me Bot. You know, back in high school, you know, one of my good friends, he always called me Swole Neck. And so that was one of my nicknames in high school. So, I mean, I answered to
everything.
To a lot of
that
them.
Was always big in the college headshots when you'd sit there and do your headshot, and make your neck bigger, and you know, and all like I remember Alabama and all the big schools down there would have the guys with the huge necks and yep. their headshots.
Now, the other thing that I find interesting is you come from a football family, but you're not old enough to remember your dad actually playing in the NFL.
No.
So it's different than, say, Kyle Fuller, who's got a brother playing for the Lions. Your dad played for the Lions back in the day. So when you were a young kid and getting into sports, was football your first love? Or were you playing other stuff and you just realized, hey, this is the sport I'm best at?
To be honest, I was better at baseball. But I always liked basketball the most. But my dad broke my heart. Was it like 9th, 10th grade? Yeah, you're too short. And, you know, I mean, I was a good basketball player. And he said, I'm just telling you, you're too short. And I went, did my research, and I'm like, gosh, I was like, man, I'm only, you know, 6'1", little bit under 6'2". I was like, I only got, you know, a chance at one spot. So,
right. What were you playing in baseball?
I was a pitcher.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
How about the Little League this summer here in Chicago with the – Jackie Robinson
West.
Little League Club.
That was big for them.
Fun to watch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been out at U.S. Cellular Field. I saw you throwing out a first pitch there.
The punter threw it out last night, Pat O'Donnell.
I texted him right before, and I was like, hey, don't mess it up.
But, you know, I really didn't like – there wasn't like a follow-through that I wanted to see out of the youngster.
I mean, you think about it. When was the last time, you know, probably some of these guys ever picked up a baseball?
Right.
Last time I probably picked up a baseball and thrown a baseball was probably my 11th grade year in high school.
But you still feel pretty good. You stand on the mound, you're going to be able to hit the catcher's mitt.
No, it's a lot further than you remember. I'll tell you that.
I'm glad you played football then.
I'm still trying to figure out. Imagine Kyle Long. You know, he was drafted by the White Sox early on in his sports career. Imagine him on the mound.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
lefty, too.
Right. A big, solid, huge lefty like that.
That's crazy. I mean, just the
Bobby Douglas. I went to high school with a great pitcher. His name was Bill Gullickson, and he was a great pitcher in high school. So they came and told him, look, we don't want you to play football anymore because we know that you're that great at baseball. And it's probably a good decision that they took Kyle and said, look, you're an offensive guard, not a left-handed pitcher.
Colin Kaepernick was a baseball player drafted by the Cubs. Now he's a big shot with the 49ers. The nice little transition there to football. Why is he so successful running the offense that the 49ers run?
For one, he can do so much. You know, not only can he make every throw in the NFL, along with that, he can use his feet, you know, to kill defenses. You know, when quarterbacks can run, sometimes they can limit you to what you can run on defense because you've got to make sure you've always got somebody accounting for them. So, you know, it makes it tough, you know, really on the defense. You know, and makes a lot simpler looks for him, and you know he knows where he wants to go with the ball. So
right, he really takes advantage of his weapons too. From all the big receivers on the outside, how it trickles to the tight end inside, but when they want to run that power running game, they're willing to go unbalanced and trying to get some angles and situations on you. That's really what the 49ers are. Is to get Colin Kaepernick going, they have to run the ball effectively. So he can use all the other guys on the outside.
Yeah, that's how they work. You know, they're the heart and soul of that team, that offensive line. Right. Everybody knows that. And, the running back that they have, really, we've got, a couple good running backs. So, our main thing going out there, we've got to be ready to stop the run. We know they're a physical team. We've got to match their physicality.
That's a big thing. And what I look at is, you know, there's so many new pieces to the Bears defense, and you guys are running a little bit of a different defense than you were running last year. Do you need the chemistry of playing together a few games with everyone that's new in order to be successful? We'll ask that to Jonathan Bostic next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg. Bears All Access rolls on from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Hallis Hall alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, Jonathan Bostic, the second-year linebacker, our guest here on the show. So you got all these new players. Mark Trestman always talks about 29 new players added to the mix at the beginning of the season. A lot of new players on the defensive side of the ball, and rightfully so after everything that kind of happened last year on defense. How much of a challenge is it, John, to kind of understand what the person next to you is doing if you haven't had a chance to play alongside that person for a while?
I mean, that's important. You know, you need chemistry, you know, on all three phases, you know, the game. You know, really just knowing, you know, what the person's going to do next to you only helps out you, only helps out the defense. So, you know, me knowing how Lance plays, you know, is big for me, you know, because Lance has certain things he does. He has certain tendencies, you know, that he likes to look for. So knowing how he plays and then knowing how, you know, DJ plays, knowing how Shea plays, really knowing how, you know, our defensive line plays is big. You know, that's how this whole defense works. You know, we know everything starts up front with them.
Well, all right, with that being said, you play at home last week and the crowd's involved in the game, and it's hard to verbalize commands and communication when you have that type of stadium. Now you're going to go into San Francisco. You're going to be able to communicate all your assignments verbally. Mm-hmm. Yesterday in practice, defensive end on the outside, you come up, slap him over, get him in the right position, and you get back. What do you like to do? Do you like to have the ability to verbal command where you're listening, or does it take more chemistry when you're getting those assignments down without any verbal communication?
I particularly like to do it myself. You know, I like to, you know, call everything and, you know, kind of get everything going. But I know that Lance also likes to do that as well. So, as of, there's certain things I know how he plays. So I know how, you know, certain calls he's going to make. I know certain times, you know, he may be looking for this, so I've got to make the call. So I know, you know, that we both kind of know how each other plays and, you know, how he wants to do certain things in certain situations. So, you know, just being able to, like you said, know those things, that only helps our defense, you know. But, you know, I've always called the calls pretty much my whole life, so it's something I feel always helped me. So
is your chemistry more important in front of you or behind you, the guys behind you or the guys in front of you? Yeah, the chemistry that you need.
To be honest, we're all connected,
right?
We're all connected. Okay. I mean, I'll tell you this, you know, in this cover two defense that we run, you know, the nickel, the corner, the safeties, everybody needs to be on the same page, because technically we're playing one gap short. You know,
right.
And you've got to basically, you know, use this person to two gap, this person to do this, to basically count for that extra man. And, you know, really it all goes together. But, I mean, as a linebacker, I'm always going my front four.
So, like offensive linemen, we used to have a test where they put you on the board and you have to diagram everybody's position on a certain play. Can you go up and diagram all 11 positions on a defense against the standard offensive front?
Yeah, you've got to be able to know that.
Okay.
You know, that's how our defense works. You know,
right.
Everybody just got to know where everybody's going to be, you know, at one time. You know, we always talk about getting your job done first, and then you can help out. You know, so as a defensive lineman, you know, they always talk about, you know, gap and a half. You know, setting the edge first and then being able to go help out.
One more question. In the first game of the year, did you do anything that you got to have back? Because I remember we had a season, we opened up with Cleveland. I gave up a sack like the first quarter, and I go, I'm on pace to give up 16 sacks. But and then it always stuck with me, and I didn't give up one to much later in the year. But is there anything that you went through in the game, you go, man, I got to get that back next week?
To be honest, you know, you got to have a short memory.
Right.
You know, something goes wrong, you know, during a play. You just got to say, you got to move on to the next play. Because I'll tell you this, you know, a lot of these offenses, they're going to this no huddle, you know, these up-tempo offense, they're not going to wait on you.
Right.
They're going to come back and run the same play again. You know, and then while you're sitting there, you know, thinking like, oh, man, like what happened last play? There's a guard right up in your face.
Right,
the running back's, you know, running through the hole, and they're out the gate.
was that happening last week? Because you're right. I mean, offenses, they're like sharks that see blood in the water when they catch a mistake. And, you know, you have to be disciplined. And there are times where you're not quite sure, not you necessarily, but as a defense, you guys might not quite be sure why something opened up the play before.
Well, to be honest, you know, when stuff happens, yeah, you might not know it right off. But, you know, when we get back to the sideline, we know what really happened. You know, we may know, hey, listen, you've got to stay in your gap. Or, you know, we've got to have this edge set tighter. Like I said, it's not, you know, just one person. You know, that, you know, everybody's got to play together. So
right, because there were times, and I think even Lance Briggs admitted it this week, where, you know, he bit on one of the zone read fakes, mm-hmm. and overshot his gap, created a big hole. And in the Bears' defense, if one guy isn't disciplined, that creates a monster opportunity for the opposing running back. And that happened in that game multiple times against the Bills. And the reason I bring it up is, are you guys confident that, you know, the other team knows what you guys are trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to test your discipline. Are you guys going to be able to say, all right, let's calm down a beat here and make sure that we are gap sound so mm-hmm. that doesn't happen?
I mean, that's what we, you know, said as soon as we watched the film. We said, listen, this is, you know, we did some stuff out there that we don't normally do. You know, we've been playing, you know, the zone read, you know, tight all the way, you know, from OTAs to mini camp to, you know, training camp and then into the preseason. You know, we were playing it well. You know, that's not something we normally do. So, you know, that's why we said, you know, listen, you know, got to forget about that. We got to move on this week. We made our adjustments. You know, we got to be ready for it this week because obviously they saw, you know, maybe that it hurt us here or hurt us there. So they're going to come back to those same plays.
Do you take advantage of the iPad technology on the sidelines, or do you not need the pictures? Would you rather have conversation with the guys rather than looking at the pictures?
Usually, to be honest, on my part, it's just from being kind of in the middle of it, you kind of know what happened.
Yeah, all right.
So it's kind of, you know, you're really going to go to, okay, hey, you know, what happened? Who blocked you? You know, so you kind of already know. You know, but I look more at the papers, at the iPads. I haven't figured out how to work that yet, to be honest.
Yeah, and they've got someone on the sidelines to help them out, those Surface tablets that they used on the sidelines. I notice that what happens when you guys come back, Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator, will meet with each group and say something, and then it's the communication between all the different units. So Jeremiah Ratliff spends a lot of time talking to you guys, and, you know, the secondary, they're kind of on their own back on the other side of the bench. But ultimately, when you have a guy like Lance Briggs right next to you, you just listen to him and Reggie Herring as well, right?
Yeah. You know, that's, I mean, you really don't have to go too much further than that. You know, but, you know, going to the defensive linemen, making sure we're on the same page, you know, is the main thing. You know, like I said, everything starts with them. And we know the linebackers got to be on the same page with the secondary because we may need them to, you know, help us, you know, two gap in a certain situation.
It'd be like Steve McMichael and Dan Hampton walking out of the locker room going, hey, Singletary, we're going to go out there and make you look good today. So it's always those defensive tackles.
Hey, I saw Singletary last week. Samurai still looks like he could play.
We said that on the sideline as well.
He is jacked. More with Jonathan Bostic and Tom Thayer. We test the knowledge of 157 against the other on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrutti, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on the Chicago Bears Network, broadcasting from the Chicago Bears Network studios here inside Hallis Hall alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, Jonathan Bostic, our guest for the full hour. It is time now to test the knowledge of 157 against the other in Are You a Bears Authority, brought to you by Sports Authority. Here's how we play, guys. I ask a question. If you know the answer, hit the buzzer in front of you, Tom, just like that. It's real loud. Whoever hits it first gets the chance to answer it first. If you don't get it right, the other guy gets an opportunity to answer the question. All the questions are multiple choice, so it's in your benefit to listen to the choices if you want to win this game, right? Okay, whoever's got the most right after 7 questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Tom, you're playing for Dennis Lane from Sycamore, and John, you're playing for Jake Hoffman from Joliet.
Oh.
Yeah, Tom, by the way, is from Joliet. We didn't want the conflict of interest.
Oh, okay.
If you want to switch up, we can do it.
No, I know a lot of Hoffmans in Joliet, though.
Yeah, that's. But do you know Jake Hoffman?
I don't know. Probably no one of his family members.
If you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Question number one. Bostic 57 against Thayer 57. Of all the linebackers on the current Bears 53-man roster, which guy was drafted by another NFL team? The choices: Lance Briggs, Christian Jones, Kasim Green, DJ Williams. Jonathan.
DJ Williams.
Correct.
See, I didn't need to wait for that.
I didn't need to either.
You knew it was going to be DJ.
Yeah.
Who started his career with the Broncos. By the way, what's he like? We talk so much about Lance Briggs as a leader. DJ Williams, to me, you know, on the field, very athletic,
yeah,
very smart, smart player. And then off the field, some would say he's stylish. Some would say he's eccentric. He's a little different.
Yes, he is. Character at that as well.
Is he a funny guy?
Yes. Probably one of the funniest guys on our team.
Really?
To be honest.
See, you wouldn't know. He stays out of the limelight.
Right. That's the great thing about being a teammate. There are some things that you just don't know. We don't know. But, you know, that's the great thing about the personalities you get to meet.
You know, there are a lot of players inside the Bears locker room who are, you know, they're men of style. You know, Cutler, Marshall, Martellus Bennett in his own way, Forte. But DJ Williams has a different kind of style.
Yeah, he does. You know, some of the pants, he actually got them banned from practice.
Explain that, because on the radio, people don't know.
Yeah, he has these blue pants. I mean, they're terrible. There's these blue tights he had from Denver, but they're Reebok tights. They're terrible.
Yeah, these are practice pants. We're not even talking about the tight pants that he wears off the field.
Yeah, no, they're tighter than those.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, he thinks those are the sweetest things he's ever seen.
Something Tom Thayer would wear
right,
back in the day. Yeah, in the
back
mid-'80s.
Back in 85.
Yeah. All right. It's a 1-0 lead for Bostic over Thayer. Question number two. Which NFL team was Bears guard Matt Slauson drafted by? John.
New York.
Jets.
Technically, you're both right, but since he said New York first, you know, I have
There's
to get...
There's two teams. And on Alex Trebek wouldn't like it.
I think he knew it was the Jets. You know, I'm going to give
Did you know it was the Jets?
Point to Boston.
Yes,
okay.
Point to Boston. Slauson, by the way, that's a football player. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, he is.
And he has a cool – I don't know if you ever – he's got this motorcycle. Have you seen this motorcycle?
I saw it about a week ago.
And he wears, you know, the old school helmet. I mean, he's got the whole outfit now with the mustache and
you
the beard.
What? The great thing about being an offensive lineman is that's a blessing by birth. Because you don't pick to be an offensive lineman of the future. If you get a bunch of kids, you don't raise their hand, who wants to be a tackle? None of them. And that's the great thing about being an offensive lineman. You're blessed with that size that going, look, you got one job. You're going to be an offensive lineman for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but you could also be a basketball player if you were fast.
Who's Slauson? Who was Matt Slauson playing for?
I'm not saying Slauson. I'm just saying.
Miami Heat.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, that's an enforcer. Man. Question number three. By the way, 2-0 lead for Bostic over Thayer. Question three. In his freshman year at Auburn, Bears defensive tackle Jeremiah Ratliff started on the offensive side.
Tight end.
Correct.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I had to jump in there because there's no way I'm going down 3-0 to 5-7.
Well, you know who else was an Auburn tight end back in the day?
Yeah.
Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas was an Auburn tight end. And I mean, there have been a number of legendary Auburn tight ends.
Charles Barkley?
He never played football. I'm sure he was tough enough to play football, but he was a basketball player. All right. Question. And he, by the way, could have played on an offensive line.
Yes.
See? It all comes together. Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
Off of the line.
Right, because he's
he could be. I mean, he's big enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's got that mentality. Because you got to be a little crazy, I think, to play in the trenches.
Yeah, he is that.
All right, it's a 2-1 lead. Bostic over Thayer. Question number four. How many Bears players on the Bears' current 53-man roster have last names that begin with the letter B? The choices: 5, 6, 7, 8. Mm. Here's the hint. One of them sitting right here. Tom.
I'll go 6.
Correct.
Ooh, that's a lucky guess.
That was such a guess.
That's impressive. Do you want me to name them?
Yeah.
All right, so you got Bostic.
Yeah.
David Bass.
Yeah.
Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
Lance Briggs. Eben Britton, who was just added to the squad, and Jermon Bushrod.
There you go.
Yeah, so there you go. It is tied at 2. Thayer and Bostic. Question 5. Last Sunday versus the Bills, Matt Forte had 5 more receiving yards than rushing yards. How many receiving yards did he have in the game? The choices: 87, 97, 107. Jonathan.
87.
Correct. How about that? It's a very well-balanced game for Forte. Totaled 169 yards from scrimmage. Second most in the NFL in week number one.
What'd you think of Matt when you saw him coming up from Florida? Because you've seen a lot of great players. You see a guy like Matt as the running back. First, second, third down, they're all the same to him. Pick you up if you're blitzing, run the ball outside.
To be honest, you know, you really don't catch a lot of, you know, up north games down there, especially in games. I think we used to catch Tampa Bay games, if that, but most of the time we caught Jacksonville games.
Right.
So, you know, I knew who Matt was because I'd see him play, you know, every now and then when, you know, you guys would be on national TV. But then, you know, once I got up here, then I really saw, and I'm like, this guy's smooth. Yeah. I was like, you know,
he's a tight end.
Yeah, you know, he can, you know, catch out the backfield. You know, not only can he catch out the backfield, you know, he's, you know, dangerous after the catch.
Right.
You know, obviously just from being a running back, but still, you know, he runs routes like a receiver.
But he jacked up some guys in pass protection last week. Tommy Kelly thought once he was getting off of Matt Slauson, he gave him a rib shot and down him. Another time they jump into these other blitzes. And
That's why Trestman always says he can't take him off the field.
Right.
Yep. You know, all these guys that they bring in to try and compete, you can't take a guy that valuable off the field when he's a multifaceted threat as a pass blocker, a catcher, and a runner. All right, so it's a 3-2 lead for Bostic over Thayer. Question number six. Both Tom and Jonathan wore the jersey number 57 for the Bears. But the number 56 can't be worn anymore because it was only worn by one player in the history of the franchise, and then it was retired. Who was it retired for? Here are the choices. Sid Luckman, Red Grange, Bill Hewitt, Clyde Bulldog.
Bill Hewitt.
Correct.
Clyde Bulldog turned it 61.
I knew as soon as you said the last one.
Now, do you know Red Grange's number?
What was it, 88? No. I don't want to embarrass myself and say it wrong tonight.
77.
77. And Sid Luckman was 7?
No, Sid Luckman was 42.
He was?
Yeah. It was back then they didn't, you know, they gave – see, that's why a guy like Bostic wears number one playing defense in college. And Sid Luckman came from Columbia, the best quarterback in Bears history, wearing the number 42.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Bears fans.
Bears have more retired numbers than anybody in the National Football League. All right, 3-all. This – is for the game. Question number 7. The Bears' all-time record against the 49ers is 29-32-1. What year was the first meeting between the two teams? The choices: 1920, 1943, 1950, 1985. Jonathan.
1950.
Correct! How about that? Jonathan Bostic beating Thayer with an old-school question. And guess what that means? Jake Hoffman from Joliet wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of the youngster, Jonathan Bostic.
We'd probably be similar B students together.
By the way, 85, though, the last time the Bears went to San Francisco and won a game against the 49ers. That's a streak that you guys are going to be trying to end on Sunday night. When we come back, so Jonathan's dad played for the Lions, but there's a lot of talk about Tigers when it comes to Bostic. I'll explain next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. From the Chicago Bears Network studios inside Hallis Hall, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jonathan Bostic, our guest. And I've got a lot of Tim Tebow questions for you because he was your college teammate. We'll get to that in a second. But it was brought to my attention that, you know, most people, when they want a pet, they might get a dog or a cat. Some people have an aquarium. You know, occasionally someone has, a pet turtle or something crazy. Is it true that you want a pet tiger?
Who told you that?
Oh, I can't say. You know, I've got a lot of sources inside Hallis Hall. But he didn't say no.
Right.
Certain things I've always been different about. I mean, but obviously that's something you probably couldn't have. I mean, if I could have, you know, some type of exotic pet like that, I probably would.
Yeah, if you lived on a zoo, maybe you could have it, you know, or in some other country. I think it's tough in the United States to, you know, what kind of a leash do you carry to make sure your tiger doesn't go crazy?
But the crazy thing is, I won't dogs I'm fine with. Cats I don't like. Everything else I'm not going close to.
Really? See?
But,
well, growing up in Florida, don't you, like, see, like, bigger snakes or, like, some crocodiles or just stuff down there that
gators?
We never see, you know, is that those types of things. So,
yeah, you'll see a lot of things. You know, when I was growing up, any type of tall grass, you know, my dad always made sure I stayed away from it because, you know, there snakes are everywhere down there. You know, you never know what's down there. I mean, you go out fishing, you know, you got to watch your back, you know, because, you know, they'll try to sneak up on you. So it's crazy.
So, I mean, having a tiger, you know, is, you know, a little, I don't know, if you've got the property and everything and to keep it safe, less scary than having to going through tall grass.
Well, you'll need that 10-year career that Therathel talked about earlier if you're going to have that kind of property. Jonathan Bostic is our guest here on Bears All Access. Bostic played his college football at Florida, and early on in your Florida career, you were teammates with Tim Tebow.
Yes.
And you were in the locker. Were you in the locker room for the speech? No, right?
No, that was right before I got
there. That was.
I was actually when they lost, and he, you know, he gave that speech. I was actually on official visit at Auburn, and I remember they stopped the game, and they played it up on the Jumbotron. You know, the speech, they played everything up there. You know, the game, the highlights, and I'm just like, what in the world? You know, but
it worked.
It worked for them that year.
He got recruited at Auburn to go to Florida. Watching Tebow on the big screen.
I think when you have a chance to wear number one at Florida, there's a good chance you got recruited by anywhere that you wanted to take a visit to. And how was your recruiting experience? Was it something you enjoyed, or did it become so confusing because so many people were getting in touch with you in every way they could?
For me, I, you know, my dad told me, he said, listen, enjoy this process. You know, it never happened to you again. You know, so I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed, you know, going on the visits, you know, seeing, you know, what every school had to offer. You know, I knew what I was looking for. Anybody, you know, can come try to sell you things, but, you know, I'm one of those people, you know, I like to see for myself. So, you know, going to the different schools, visiting those schools, you know, I learned a lot, you know, from each place. And, you know, I felt, you know, Florida was the best place for me.
Did you, because you said you weren't a linebacker until you got to Florida. Mm-hmm. So did you want to play linebacker, or I'm guessing you were a running back in high school?
Yes. So, I was in denial until I got to college.
So, but were there big-time schools offering you the opportunity to play running back?
Yes. You know, there was a couple teams out there that still wanted me, you know, to play running back. You know, but I still thought deep down I was a safety.
Really? Okay.
I thought I was a safety. You know, I was, you know, 225, 230 pounds, but I could still run, you know. And I just knew I was going to be a safety. You know, and I remember talking to Coach Strong my 10th grade year, you know, which actually kind of turned me off a little bit from Florida. He told me, he said, you know, you'll never be a safety. And so he's like, I'm telling you right now, you're 220, 225 pounds, you know, as a sophomore, getting ready to be a junior. You're bigger than half the linebackers I got here right now. I'm not going to Florida. I'm going somewhere else.
That would be Charlie safety. Strong, who's now at Texas, was at Louisville, which means at some point in your career during high school, you must have been recruited by both Clint Hurt and Mike Groh.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're both assistants now with the Bears. Clint Hurt, I think at the time he was in Miami.
Yep.
Big-time program back there. And, you know, Clint Hurt, a huge man. I mean, huge, imposing defensive line assistant. Mike Groh was the top recruiter at Alabama. He's now the Bears receivers coach. I'm sure one of them wanted you to play offense.
what was your running back deficiency that they didn't think you had the skills to play that position?
For me, I like the zone scheme team, but everybody wanted me to be the downhill power type. You know, back I liked the zone scheme, you know, offense. And, you know, to be honest, the offense I liked best was Wisconsin.
I tell you what, I can't wait. I hope you get an interception with some space around you so we can see your creativity.
when we come back, what's it been like in this building after what happened last week heading into the game against the 49ers? And there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. Are the players inside the Bears locker room talking about what's happening around the league? That's next with Jonathan Bostic here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jonathan Bostic are guests here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What's it been like inside the locker room this week when you can't escape it if you follow the NFL. I mean, everything in regards to the NFL now has become a news story. You flip on the Today Show, you flip on, you know, Nightline. They're all talking about the Ray Rice situation and, you know, how this affects the commissioner going forward. Do you guys talk about stuff like that in the locker room?
You know, guys will say stuff, you know, here and there. But for the most part, you know, a lot of guys really been, you know, looking forward to this week, you know, ready to kind of get back out there, you know, because obviously, you know, we're kind of stuck with a bad taste in our mouth that we want to get out. So, you know, just making sure, you know, we're on our stuff this week has really been the most important thing for us.
That's what you want, though. You want to get right back at it. And, you know, it's neat for a team that, yeah, you have the experience with the Bills, but now you have the opportunity to go and play on national TV against what's considered one of the better teams in the league. That's the conversation that you need to have in the locker room, is what you're going to do to get better, to make sure that you're a better team on Sunday night. I know all the other things that are going around, and my first professional head coach, George Allen, always considered everything outside of your game plan a distraction.
But see, and there are a lot of distractions. I mean, when you think about it, you're not deaf. You're not blind. You hear, you see what's going on and what people are saying. You're on Twitter. Players are all on social media. You guys know what's being said about the Bears and the lack of confidence outside the building. How do you close the door, so to speak, and just focus in on what you have to focus in on?
To be honest with me, I've never been one to, you know, listen to outside, you know, sources, you know, because stuff that we do inside, you know, people on the outside don't, you know, understand fully, you know, what goes on, you know, with us. You know, like I said, you know, some people may try to put blame on one player. It's not one player. Everybody knows, you know, it starts, you know, as a group, you know, for a run, you know, that may break, you know, just because that run breaks and this person's gap, there's 10 other people out on the field. So everybody needs to be running to the ball to, you know, make sure that run doesn't break longer than, you know, 15, 20 yards. You know, we want to limit those explosive plays. So, you know, listening to outside sources has never been something I do. You know, I never really read up on, you know, things like that or, you know, been too much into social media. You know, I enjoy social media, you know, for what it is, but, you know, I don't really get too much, you know, into that whole other side of it.
Right, the criticism can affect you. It's because your own journey is to making sure that you're going to prepare yourself to get ready. So I don't think there's a lot of the negative criticism that seeps inside the locker room. Like you said, everybody's conscious of it because it is. But your professional athletes are resilient because they get challenged by criticism every single day of their life by their position coach, by their coordinator, and by the head coach. So you have to take criticism when they're looking at you right in the eyes. And if you let criticism crumble you, you're not a good team. So I don't think it's that destructive.
And I hear you say this all the time. You don't want to let what happened last week affect you this week.
Yep.
Because then things start to snowball in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have, like I said, short-term memory. You know, what happened last week was last week. You know, you watch the film, you make your, you know, adjustments, you know, be real critical of yourself. You know, and those things that you're talking about in the meeting rooms, you got to make sure that stuff carries over to the practice field and into the game.
You know what something is? Offensive football is so repetitiously done. You'll be running the same plays in the same motion, the same way, the same blocking schemes that you do always. Defense, you guys have to morph to your opponent and how Buffalo's different than San Francisco, the next week will be different than – that's got to be the interesting part of defense because you're not only using your skills, but you're using your skills against what your opponent is going to do to you.
Yeah, you've got to be able to react, you know, especially with a lot of these offenses are evolving now. Everybody wants to get to the, you know, the zone read. Everybody wants to, you know, get in the pistol and, you know, do things like that. So you got to really be ready for everything. You know, you can't be, you know, out there and, you know, go out there flat-footed. You know, there's teams are going to throw a lot of stuff at you. You know, if something hurt you the week before, you got to be ready to see it again. They may give it to you, you know, in a different formation or, you know, different, you know, backfield set. You know, it's all going to be the same. It's coming right back at you.
Yeah, you have to prove you can stop something or else they're going to keep showing it your way. And we haven't even talked about some of the other weapons. We talked about Colin Kaepernick and Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde. But, you know, then there's Vernon Davis who's going to be coming in your direction. And then you've got these receivers.
Aquan Bolden.
And Stevie John. I mean, there's a lot that you have to – that's why that discipline that you talked about earlier, that's the key.
Yep. Yeah, it's big. You know, you've got to have, you know, good eye discipline, you know, especially going against an offense like this. You know, they do a lot of window dressing.
You got to make Kaepernick throw off balance, too. You can't let him be a fundamentally sound quarterback and hitting his targets. You have all those great targets out there, but if you can jeopardize his throwing motion, that's why you decrease the chances of his accuracy.
Yeah, and few teams, I mean, I think over his last seven games, he's got 12 touchdown passes compared to one interception. So it's not easy to do, a lot easier to say than to do. So have you changed your sleeping habits, your eating habits, because you guys are going a day early to San Francisco?
Not at all. You know, I know some people, you know, have to change, you know, a lot of those sleeping habits. I'm a guy that, you know, when it's time to go to sleep, you know, it's time to go to sleep. Soon as, you know, I'm get in the bed, I fall asleep literally in probably 15, 20 seconds.
Man, I'm jealous. Sunday night, well-rested.
Start working harder.
Jonathan Bostic, thank you so much. Good luck Sunday night against the 49ers. Not going to be easy.
Thank you.
It's not. No game in the NFL is easy.
You don't think he knows it?
Well, I'm just saying.
Sorry,
it, Tom.
5-7.
We got to say goodbye. We'll be back next week for Jonathan Bostic and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin, Paul Zarang, Greg Miller. Thank you for helping us out. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by United, Verizon, and Xfinity.